Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my pastor, Brian Hurlbut, pastor of Lifeline Community. And you can probably catch,
you can catch
Brian's show is right before Viewpoint on Mormonism, 9:30 in the morning on KUTR. And you're also on again at 6:15 at
night, right?
Yep. So, yeah, you can catch him twice a day. Anyway, we are discussing Dr. Richard Mao's new book called Talking with Mormons, An Invitation to Evangelicals. First of all, that title is a little misleading. The book is mainly about his experience talking with Mormons privately in behind-the-door sessions, and there really is no invitation to all evangelicals.
Vindication, not an invitation.
Yeah, and so he is basically explaining some of the things that he has heard go on in these conversations. He's not very specific in many of those examples that he cites, but he offers some very stern criticism to evangelicals when it comes to their understanding and approach to members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He has a chapter starting on page 12 called Beyond Counter Cult. Now, I'll just tell you that within Dr. Mao's circles, and I know several that are within these circles, the word counter cult is very much a pejorative. Dr. Mao doesn't even want to use the word cult and apply it to the Mormons, though he is ready to admit he applies it to the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Christian Scientists and the Scientologists and such. He will not apply it to the Mormons. One of the reasons being, as we have discussed, is because the Mormons have a university. Somehow, I guess that changes everything with him. I'm scratching my head on that one, but this is what he says in the book. And also he says that cults normally will not have open discussions, or discussions at all. I can't even say open discussions, because these discussions are not open. They are not open. And he would say that that's not normative of a cult. And as we've explained here, the reason why that word is still useful is if you explain it in the terms of theology, then certainly Mormonism would be within the parameters of a cult, a theological cult, not a sociological cult. We want to make that distinction. But on page 14, he said, "The problem with the typical evangelical historical effort to find a smoking gun in Mormon teaching is that it hasn't been very successful." Let me just say, I don't know what he means by successful here, because if being successful means that we, in my community of what I do, we haven't been invited to the free lunches, we haven't been invited to these meetings, we haven't been invited to have one-on-one discussions with general authorities, I say, okay, you're right, we've pretty much failed in that area. The Mormon leadership really doesn't want to have a whole lot to do with us, so yeah, we have failed. But when you say it hasn't been very successful, if you look at success as seeing Mormons come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, then I would say, Dr. Mao, you have just borne false witness. Because that is not my experience, and that is not the experience of many others of whom I am very close friends of. We have seen people coming out of the Mormon church as a result of the research that we have done. And we get many positive comments from Latter-day Saints, even those who have not come out of Mormonism. At least they will compliment us on the research that we have done, and they will say that we have done a fairly good job at explaining what Mormons are supposed to believe. Not that all of them do, and we do make that clear, not all of them believe what the church tells them to believe. But we are pretty accurate in what Mormon leaders have actually said on these subjects. Now, he gives the example of two evangelical scholars back in 1998, Carl Mosier and Paul Owen, who authored a lengthy essay in a journal published by Trinity Evangelical Divinity School entitled Mormon Scholarship, Apologetics, and Evangelical Neglect, Losing the Battle and Not Knowing It, ? Now, notice there's a question mark there. I don't think, and I have talked personally with Carl. I've had discussions with Carl in person and in emails. And I don't agree with a lot of their conclusions, and they know that. One of the biggest problems I have with both of their premises is they tended to give the impression that the BYU professors were, as I've said, are the neck that turns the head. And I don't see that. Whenever I show a BYU professor statement and compare it to what a Mormon leader has said, the Mormon always runs to the leader, not the BYU professor. But they had some criticisms. And one of the things that Dr. Mao says at the end of this paragraph, he says, and to make things worse, they reported, Carl and Paul, Mosher and Owens, they reported evangelicals have continued to rehearse their standard arguments against Mormonism without even demonstrating any awareness of the relevant writings by Mormon scholars. All I can say is that certainly is not true when it comes to some of my close colleagues in this type of ministry. We often look at what the BYU scholars are saying. However, we recognize their proper place in the whole scheme of Mormonism. They don't speak for the church. They don't have the priesthood authority to speak for the church. It's not that I haven't been encouraged by some of the things some of them have said, but I think Dr. Mao makes a fatal mistake when he thinks that what a comment made by a Mormon professor somehow is indicative of what the Mormon church is teaching. Mm-hmm. Did you ever read that paper, Brian?
You know, I was trying to recall as you were talking about it whether I have or not. I was aware of it, and I think I may have read portions of it when I first relocated to Utah to serve.
Do you think when he says, when Dr. Mao says, it's that our approach, looking for what he calls a smoking gun, is that it hasn't been very successful?
I think it's absurd. His success, I think he defines it as he goes along what he means by success. And I think what he's getting at by success is successfully relevant and appropriate apologetic arguments to respond to Mormon answers. And what I would say is just, if you're listening, go on the internet. If you're listening, pick up a book. There's a lot of them. I jotted down below in my notes as I read through his book, DNA. Issues, question mark. The mm-hmm. location of Cumorah, question mark. Mesoamerican claims, question mark. I mean, we've got so many smoking guns out there mm-hmm. that I can hardly breathe sometimes, the smoke so thick. And so I'm just not seeing what he's seeing when he talks about we have not somehow kept apologetic pace mm-hmm. with Mormon answers. I'm still waiting for adequate answers.
And that raises a very good point, because he says that the title of their paper, Mormon Scholarship, Apologetics and Evangelical Neglect, Losing the Battle and Not Knowing It? Question mark. The title, Dr. Mao says, summarized their story nicely. They argued that Mormon scholars had pretty much provided adequate responses to evangelical criticisms of Mormonism's historical claim. One word, my response to that is nonsense. Mm-hmm. Nonsense. They have not, in many cases, provided adequate responses. Now, does this mean that they've never provided adequate responses? Of course not. Of course they have.
To pick up right where you left off, the next line says, and even where those Mormon responses haven't been compelling to those of us who continue to be critical of Mormon claims, the Mormon thinkers have at least succeeded in showing that the situation is more complex than would appear from the evangelical critiques. And when I read more complex, here's what I understand that to really mean. What that really means is they've done a very good job of sidestepping and not answering at all.
Spin.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Just come to the issue of the gold plates. I mean, I have read just about every argument as to why a Mormon thinks Joseph Smith really had gold plates and could have carried, if the plates were made of gold, those plates under his arm for a distance of 3 miles, fighting off attackers, jumping over a log, being hit with a gun. And I've heard every one of the excuses. I've heard them all. And I'm sorry. I don't think their explanations are adequate. They're horrible explanations. Joseph Smith was a buff farm boy? Are you kidding me? No buff farm boy could carry that kind of a weight under his arm. And God gave him supernatural strength? Well, the farms people themselves show that argument doesn't hold, because they've been trying very hard to get the weight down to a manageable level. If it was really God supernaturally intervening, just leave him at 200 pounds and let's be done with it.
The strength of an argument isn't rooted in its possibility, it's rooted in its probability.
Exactly, exactly. So I would say that Dr. Mao is not being very fair with those of us who spend our lives studying this and reading from Mormon manuals and reading their history on a daily basis, listening to the arguments that are being made by the Mormon apologists. I just don't think he's up on this. And if a Mormon, and I still have Mormons, throw at me Carl and Paul's paper, and I have often written some of these Mormons back saying, are you telling me that you think that they think Mormonism has good answers? Because I know Carl personally. I've met him, okay? He doesn't think that. He thinks that there's still a lot of problems within Mormonism. So I think a lot of Mormons will grasp anything they can, and they will use it to bludgeon evangelicals into submission or into silence so that they don't bring up some of these issues any longer. In this chapter on the countercult, he says, page 17, but often the countercultists take the warnings against Mormonism to even another level. They demonize Mormonism, portraying the beliefs and practices of Latter-day Saints as of the devil. I don't think I've ever used that expression in all the years that I've been writing on Mormonism. But my question is, well, if it's not of God, where did it come from? What are some of the suggestions that you would offer?
Well, I mean, I think you're sort of reduced to two. I think one, you can say Joseph Smith had a wild imagination, and that imagination was fed by the hubris of his flesh. And out of that came this fantastic story, then a following, and so forth. And so you got this sort of sociological tale of power and so forth. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that that same thing happened, but that there is something deeper and spiritual behind it, and something that is demonic behind it. Now, the reality is, in the world in which we live, there are physical things that are seen and apparent, and there are metaphysical things beyond the physical that we don't see, but that move the physical and shape it and mold it and so forth. So I think what Mao has done is a little bit of a shock jock here to sort of say, well, they think it's of the devil. Well, I would throw back to Mao and I'd say, all right, explain for me then what's happening. Because we've got to have an explanation that actually can adequately account for the phenomena we see.
And we're going to be looking at this some more in our next broadcast.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast, A Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.